Hello, it's Nicola Bonn here with the Outspoken Beauty Podcast. I am your host and I have got a wonderful guest. In fact, one of my favourite guests on this podcast, Lily Pebbles. Now, last time I interviewed Lily Pebbles, she was here with the Anna Edit. We were talking about editing your makeup stash and little did I know that she was in the early days of pregnancy. I was moaning so much about my children that day, about the fact that I never sleep, about the mess. And she was probably sitting there thinking, oh, shit. Anyway, I decided to get Lily back because I wanted to hear about how her pregnancy's going and what beauty products she's using now that she's pregnant and how she feels her life's going to change. And what I love about this talk we had is that it's the most brilliant insight into how a woman feels when she's on the cusp of a huge life change. And Lily's honesty is, oh, it's phenomenal. So I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to let you listen to Lily. At the end of the podcast, I'll be talking about acupuncture, the well-being diet plan I'm doing, and also about the most beautiful glowy skin base. Okay, so stay listening for that. But first, here's Lily. So Lily Pebbles, I have dragged you back onto this podcast because when I found out you were pregnant, I got a little bit excited.
Well, last time I was here, we were talking. You were like, oh my God, not ready for more kids. You were literally, and me and Anna, because Anna knew, and I was thinking that she is going to laugh so much and she finds
I was being really negative. No, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, it's so fun. I told you, I've got two older sisters. Like, nothing could put me off now. Like, I know everything.
Did I say anything about pregnancy that put you off?
No, not at all. And it was really funny. And I was just desperate to, like, by that point, I was desperate to tell everyone. I think it was only like a week or two before I announced it, maybe.
Did you, how many people did you tell before the 3 month kind of announcement stage?
So I told my mum and my sisters first, and then I ended up telling a couple of close best friends who had kids. I was like, there's no point telling my friends who don't have kids, it's not gonna like add anything to the situation. I felt like I really needed people to ask questions to who could be really honest with me and comfort me. And also, some of my friends who I see all the time, I was like, I can't be bothered to lie to them. It really adds like a whole awkwardness to a friendship.
I always had this feeling like when I was pregnant that if something happened, if I did lose the baby in that first 3 months, I'd want the people I love to support me. So I felt like keeping it secret from everybody wouldn't work for me, even though that's that superstitious.
Yeah, that's exactly how I thought of it. Me and Rich had a chat about it and I said, well, who would I tell if I miscarried anyway?
Yeah.
So those are the people that I told.
Yeah.
Really. And I told Anna because we had a lot of jobs on and we had events and meetups and I was like, I need her to know.
So I want to talk to you about how, because you're now in the second trimester.
Yes.
Falling pregnant, was that easy for you or did you have a hard time?
So I guess I was somewhere in between. I have friends who really struggled, end up having IVF. I have friends who got pregnant first try. So I guess I'm somewhere in between. It took 6 months.
6 months. That's the same as me.
Yeah, but I had just come off the pill, which made it more complicated. And I hadn't, it's not something no one ever talks to you about, really.
No.
I'd been on the pill for 11 years, which is a really long time.
Yeah, that is a long time.
I mean, it might have been even more. I can't even remember now. So I came off and didn't really know what to expect. And I came off and just basically didn't get my period. And I'd always been told before by my gynecologist, you're super fertile, like as soon as you come off the pill, you're going to get pregnant. So I was like, okay, I'm not coming off until I'm ready.
Yeah.
Came off and didn't really get my period. So it took like a good few months to kind of figure out, you know, everyone always says, work out your cycle and then you can see when you ovulate. And I was like, but I don't have a cycle. I was going like 42 days, 62 days. And it was like impossible to work out.
So when you, that moment when you found out, were you on your own or were you with your other half?
So it was a Saturday, it was moving day and it was a Saturday morning. And I get a lot of questions from my viewers being like, how did you know to take the test? Did you have symptoms or did you have a missed period? And actually, like, neither. I didn't have any symptoms. And because I didn't know when my periods were coming, I couldn't even... They always say, take the test on your day of your first missed period. And I'm like, but I don't know when that is.
It's just so irregular, yeah.
So at first I was taking loads of tests all the time. And then I was like, this is silly. Because actually it is really disappointing when you see the negative. It kind of really gets you down. So I thought I really need to stop taking these because it's just making me feel more sad. So I had one left from my batch of like... I ordered loads and then I was like, I'm going to stop ordering some.
Where did you order them from? Amazon?
Oh, Amazon. And I was so paranoid. On Amazon, you can hide orders. So I thought, like, if I'm looking at Amazon and someone's looking over my shoulder, I don't want them to see that I've ordered a pregnancy test. You can, like, hide it from your orders. Like,
can you?
Yeah. That's and also, I thought, I don't want to go into a pharmacy, because what if the amount of times I go to pharmacies and someone's like, I love your videos.
That's so true. I know. Do you know, I'll tell you something as well. When I'd literally just had my second baby, and I know my pharmacist really well. And, like, I thought I was pregnant again a few months later. God knows why I had sex. I mean, I was not in the mood, but we did. And I remember going in thinking, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. So I was like, I'm just getting a pregnancy test for a friend, because I thought they would, like, disrespect me if they thought I was pregnant.
You feel like a teenager.
You
first
do.
Of all. And also, yeah, you just never know. I do, or, like, even if they were to be like, oh, exciting, you're like, shh. You don't want to, like, get excited about it before you even know anyway. So, yeah, I did Amazon. So anyway, it was Saturday morning, I had one left, and I just thought, I'm just going to do it. We're moving house today. I don't want to move with a pregnancy test. So I was like, let me just, like, take it and it'll be gone. And quite quickly, compared to every other time I'd taken one, I'd been, like, staring at it for, like, 8 minutes. Nothing's happened. And pretty, like, within, like, 20 seconds, I'd say, like, the line appeared. Was it one or two? I can't even remember now.
I think it's two.
Two, right. Two lines.
I think.
Yeah, because the first one's like a test line.
Yeah.
They really need to teach these things at school.
They do.
This is what I'm telling all my friends. I've become, like, the how to get pregnant guru in my friendship group.
Do they all come to you now?
Yeah, like, all my friends are, like, coming off the pill, because I'm like, seriously, guys, like, get off the pill if you want to get pregnant in the next year.
Yeah, it's good advice. Although, do you know what? Everyone's going to hate you, because they'll all be getting pregnant, like, the next day. Thanks, Lily. I wasn't ready.
So I took the test, and so I, like, Rich was, like, in the other room. It was a Saturday, luckily. He wasn't at work. So I was like, I got him to come into the bathroom, and I was like, I think that means I'm pregnant. And he just kind of went, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, we kind of just didn't really know how to react. I actually think I felt quite pressured to, like, react in a certain way. It was a bit like at our wedding, neither of us cried at our wedding. Like, we just kind of were like, well, we knew this was going to happen. Like, this is the plan. Yeah. We're not shocked, but we're just like, I felt really relieved.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, so now I need to get one of those. We had moving house. So our friend rang on the doorbell to help us move. So he started moving. I was like, okay, I'll go get the digital test. Went to buy it. It said pregnant. So I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. And we spent the whole day. We couldn't talk about it all day because our friend was there. So until that Saturday evening, I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It's, like, insane. And I felt completely normal. I think that was what was really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't have any symptoms till 6 weeks. And I found out at 4 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. But
did you then go to a doctor? Because I remember this moment thinking, okay, I'm pregnant. Come on, everybody, do something about it. Come on, doctors. And they were like, yep, okay. You just wait now for your appointment.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, this is why I ended up telling my sisters. I kind of wasn't going to rush into it.
Yeah.
But that next day on the Sunday, I thought, I don't really know what the next step is, actually. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I meant to go to a hospital or a GP? Or I don't know. No one really tells you these things. So I ended up telling my sisters, and they were like, oh, you don't have to go to the doctor. I mean, you can, but they don't do anything. They literally just, like, book you into the hospital. Yeah. So I phoned my GP on that Monday and said, hi, I'd like to make an appointment. They said, okay, what's wrong? And I said, well, I'm pregnant. And they went, okay, well, what's the appointment for? And I went, well, I'm pregnant. That's the first time.
Something.
They said, you don't need an appointment for that. Just if you just go to your local hospital's website, you can book yourself in.
Yeah, it's so,
I didn't even need to go to the GP.
But you want someone, you almost also, because I wanted a blood test. I wanted someone to say you're definitely pregnant.
So I did end up at 7 or 8 weeks, ended up going for a private scan because I just couldn't wait. It's so weird to, how do you know you're still pregnant, although there's something actually in there?
You feel like you're not pregnant, don't you?
And I mean, until the symptoms kicked in. But even then, I just kind of wanted to know I was on the right track, really.
So you went for your first scan, and did you see, they look like little, because they've got their little sack at that point, haven't they?
It was an internal scan, which I kind of hadn't prepared myself for, but it was fine, actually. And yeah, it was just nice to know. He said, you know, the sack looks great, the lining looks very thick, and like, there actually was a little heartbeat as well, because I waited like 7 or 8 weeks. And it was just really reassuring, actually. It was money well spent.
Yeah, I completely. And I think that's something, I don't know about you, but that I needed throughout both pregnancies was reassurance. Mm-hmm. I'm naturally very neurotic. So whereas most women are just quite laid back about pregnancy, they're just like, it's all fine. I was at that hospital a lot. Like,
really?
Literally. Yeah, I was doing my radio show then, and I'd finish at 6 o'clock, and I'd often be like, might just go and check that because I'm a bit worried. And I think the doctors were like, you have a problem. You really don't need to be here again.
I think I have a tendency to be the same, but because of that, I kind of force myself to be chilled.
You have to be chilled.
Because I know that if I start kind of getting panicky about stuff, it's just going to end up badly. So yeah. I actually think I'm quite chilled. Like, we went for our 20-week scan and they have like a checklist of things that yeah. they need to check, and they couldn't get it all because she was lying in a funny position. So I had to come back like 2 weeks later, and that was over Christmas. And I think some people would have been really panicked about that, but I tried to be quite, I'm quite rational thinking. So I just thought, well, it's because she was in a funny position. They would have said if they were really worried, but I mean, bedside manner wasn't great. They do go a bit quiet and they're like looking for stuff. And I'm like, it wouldn't hurt if you just said, sorry, I'm a bit quiet, but just because I'm concentrating.
That, I used to, but during a scan, I'd always be like, can you just talk to me a little bit yeah. and let me know everything's okay?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky that I've got sisters who have kids. I think if this was my first and I didn't know anyone with kids, I think it would be a lot scarier.
So were you quite ill in your first trimester?
Yeah, it was rough actually. I always thought I wasn't going to be the best pregnant person because I'm like, I get travel sick and I don't know, when I feel sick a lot in lots of situations.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
I know, and I'm never actually sick. I normally just feel a bit nauseous. But yeah, so I found out 4 weeks, and then 6 weeks, it was like, bam. But it only lasted for about 3 weeks, but I was actually being sick. And most of my friends and sisters felt sick and felt tired, but weren't actually sick. So I think compared to everyone I know, it was pretty brutal. I definitely wasn't as bad. I know some people have it really, really
awful.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was really, I was throwing up, and because I'm a bit scared of throwing up, it was all a bit panicky.
Me too.
I really hate it.
Did it feel like a bug, or is it just like, what does it feel like?
Well, it's not a relief. I thought, because a lot of people who feel nauseous at the beginning say, well, at least if you're sick, it's like, you just get it out.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. You don't feel better after. And it's really sudden. It's not like when you're normally sick. I don't know. It really came on quite suddenly. And all different scenarios. It wasn't like just morning. Like, everyone says it's not morning sickness. It's whenever sickness.
Were you sick during any public appearances or anything? Like, did you have those moments when you thought, no, not now?
Luckily, over those few weeks, I'm so lucky because of what I do, I could like I basically cleared my diary. Yeah. There were some things I found really hard. I felt so bad cancelling meetings and stuff with people. But obviously, I knew one day they'll know.
Yeah.
But I could stay at home. It was hard in terms, my work was hard in terms of I still had to make content and stuff. And people were like, your videos are so boring at the moment.
Did people say that?
Yeah. And I was like, oh God, I wish you knew. But in terms of not having to go on the tube into an office, like, I'm so lucky. So yeah, it was pretty brutal actually. And I just couldn't really, my sister was like, you really should leave the house. You'll feel better for it. And I was like, you don't understand. I can't stand up.
Really?
Yeah. But then luckily it went away. I was so worried that I was like, what if I'm one of those people that gets this the whole way through?
Yeah, my friend did. Literally. Yeah. And for some reason, she was always sick in the most awful scenario. She used to walk around London with a plastic bag.
Yeah,
and she
like
saw,
that.
Oh, who was the celebrity? She saw like this major A-list celebrity. She was like, oh my God, it's, oh no, oh no. And she just like threw off in front of her into a bag.
I mean, those people are amazing. I don't know. How you do it. But I did spend the whole first trimester just saying to my sisters, why would you ever do this again? I was like, what? I don't understand. But now I'm out of it. I wouldn't say I'm one of those people who's like, you know, some people say they're just like full of energy in their second trimester. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I do feel more like me. I feel quite normal, which is nice.
I do. The second trimester is definitely easier. I never felt like these, you know, some women positively glow and they're just like,
they
radiate this femininity and this strength. I was like, no.
I don't know if this, I know it's like an old wives' tale that like girls
drain your beauty.
Drain your beauty. But oh my God, that first trimester especially, now I've kind of managed to deal with it. But also I think the hormones have relaxed a bit. At the beginning, they're like insane. I'm not joking. It was so like 6 weeks. I got so spotty, my skin, I don't even get spots. Like I didn't have the products to deal with it. I got so spotty and hairy everywhere.
Did you get
dark
hairy?
Hair, my face. I had like a full on like dark, I mean, I'm not
beard.
Exaggerating. Like you can ask Rich, like dark hair all over my face. I was like, oh my God, what do? I can't laser. I can't do anything.
No, you can't laser.
Epilating was excruciatingly painful.
You can't shave.
You can't bleach. I was literally, that was actually one of the hardest things to deal with just because of my job, especially. I was like, what am I going to do?
That's so, did I get, like, all I remember is Nick from Pixie Wheel. I remember when I first got pregnant, she said, you'll know if you're having a girl because girls nick your beauty.
Yeah, it really
and boys,
is a thing.
And because I've got a girl and a boy, I remember the same with me, with Poppy, my girl, spots. I don't remember the hair. I've always got excess hair. So for me, it's like, whatever. Have you?
It's like more than normal.
More than normal. Like, I'm always a bit hairy. But with Louis, I definitely felt more attractive.
Oh, that's
How
so funny.
Bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, very kind. My audience are very kind, and they're like, "You're glowing," but I'm like, "I think it's the highlighter." You should see me when I'm not wearing makeup. I'm not glowing. I don't feel like I am.
You do feel. How do you feel about yourself and about? Because I remember, I felt like for the whole pregnancy, and then when I had both babies, I felt like my beauty, a bit of me had been taken, because I was, you know, especially when you're pregnant, your body is giving to another human being. So everything in you is being taken away for great reason. But how do you feel that sometimes?
Not most of the time, but like I've got quite ill over Christmas. I just got a cold.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Colds when you're pregnant are like insane. Like yeah. It's not like a normal cold. And I think during that, I really felt like my body was giving any goodness to the baby and leaving me with nothing. I did feel like that a little bit, but obviously you're like, it's fine. I love my baby. That's good.
Yeah.
I think in terms of losing myself, I don't mind the whole like seeing my bump grow. I quite like, and in terms of my like body confidence, my tummy's always been the thing that I've been most insecure about.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a bit like thinner on my legs and arms. So I'm kind of like used to having, you know, covering my tummy up a bit, although it's, I feel like a little bit top heavy now, but I don't mind that so much. I quite like how my body's changing. I feel like I've lost me in terms of clothing, and I felt that from 10 weeks. So before I could even tell anyone, my jeans, I used to wear like size 28 high-waisted jeans, and those just went out the window very quickly.
Where have you been getting your, have you got maternity jeans now?
Yeah, so before 12 weeks, I just ordered on ASOS, so I didn't have to go to a shop, and I just got the ones that have like elastic on the side, so they're not like full on, because also you don't want to buy maternity clothes before you even know your baby's okay. Like it's a bit scary.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just got those to be a bit more comfortable, because you feel the most bloated really at that beginning bit, which is weird.
My maternity wardrobe was vulgar.
It's so hard. Like when your style is so different. Some of my friends, it didn't really matter because they just kind of wore oversized stuff anyway. Whereas my style was very much high-waisted skinny jeans or whatever and tucked in tops. And that is just...
Yeah, you can't do that
so
anymore.
I just kind of didn't know how to dress. And it's only until really kind of this week I've just done a massive order online. I just got the
you
shirt.
You look amazing today, actually. Where's that from?
This so you're is from Topshop like Maternity.
It's beautiful. It's like a kind of snake print, tan and black.
It looks like something
shirt.
I would have worn before. Yeah. I think that's the trick. You don't have to wear like stripy tops. All the maternity clothes are stripy.
And that's
I'm
so
wearing,
true.
Like, H&M maternity jeans. I've just started over the bump ones because actually they're quite, I never thought I'd be an over the bump type, but
they're
quite comfortable.
So comfy. And like, I wore mine for quite a while afterwards as well.
I've actually managed to get someone who's not pregnant onto maternity jeans. What an achievement. Because I'm like,
really?
They are the most comfortable, the ones with the stretchy sides.
So comfortable. Amazing. I never encountered the stretchy side ones. I'm going to have to look into
they're
those.
They're so good.
I'm so sick of jeans cutting into my tummy.
Yeah, get them ASOS. You wouldn't know they're maternity.
No.
Like, they've just got a little black bit on the side. So I'm slowly starting to add some new, I think a lot of women feel like they don't want to buy maternity clothes. They don't want to waste their money on something they're only going to wear for a short period of time. They don't want to stretch your current clothes though. So you just feel like you're wearing, I've just wearing the same jeans every day.
Yeah. It's a funny time. Another thing I found when I'd had the babies and when I was kind of back to getting towards my normal size, I had no idea about what was in fashion and what wasn't.
Yeah.
First time round, crop tops were in. I was like, fuck that. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Mm. Like, when did this happen?
Exactly. I feel like I just found my style before. And then I was like, oh, now what? I'm going to go back to wearing long tops, which is what I did 3 years ago.
You need to remember your style. But then it might not be in style anymore. But it's your style. So that's okay.
What? Go back to high-waisted jeans? I put my jeans away in storage and I was like, I hope we reunited one day.
You will. You'll meet again.
No
you
pressure,
will meet again.
Size 28 waist.
How do you feel about the fact that your body is going to, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, so you may find that you have stretch marks. Have your sisters got stretch marks?
No, I don't think my sisters or my mum have stretch marks, but my one of my sisters just keeps saying to me, your bones change. She's like, it's not even like a weight thing. She's like, your bones change. You'll never be the same again.
Your body does definitely change. So for me, it was my boobs. And I was always quite known for having good boobs. I was proud of my boobs. You know, they were great. And then when I had the babies, like I probably could have breastfed, but I found it very, very difficult. So I ended up pumping and giving bottles. But my boobs like suddenly went like empty vessels. And I was lying down next to my husband one day and I was thinking, oh, I'm feeling quite sexy today. And I looked down at my boob and it looked all flat and weird. I was like, oh, they've changed.
Yeah, I'm quite nervous about that. I quite like my boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also nervous about them getting bigger because I have quite big boobs and I don't like having big boobs. You know what I mean? It's something I'm always trying to hide.
Really?
It makes me feel bigger in general. I always think, like, when I see someone who's got really small boobs, I'm like, oh, they look so, like, thin and pretty.
Really?
I don't know why. It's so weird. So I'm like, nervous about getting bigger, but then also, yeah, they're pretty perky, so that's going to go.
It might not go. It just, they might be a little less perky. But you know what? You know, do you follow the Slum Flower?
Yeah.
And she's, like, got this hashtag saggy boobs matter.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time you've had the baby, like, saggy boobs are going to be so fashionable.
I really want accessories for them and stuff.
Yeah, like saggy boob jewellery. And I really want saggy boobs to be fashionable. You could lead the way on that. If you go saggy,
oh, God. Okay.
Go bra free. Start a campaign. I love my saggy boobs. They might not get saggy. Do you know if you want to breastfeed or not? I mean, that's quite a big question, but
yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to try and do. I'm kind of not putting pressure on myself in any way in terms of breastfeeding or like birth plan.
How do you feel about the birth?
Yeah, I'm technically low risk, which means that I'm able to go into like one of those birthing suites at the pool and stuff.
Nice.
So I'm like, why not? Sure, I'll start. Like,
yeah.
I know some people are like 100% want drugs. I'm not like that, but I'm very much, from my sisters, know that you don't know what's going to happen and you can't really plan. You can try a certain thing way and, you know, I'm going to try hypnobirthing and all
that. Yeah,
like,
that really works for some people.
Exactly. But I know that if something goes wrong or if I just change my mind and I've never had a contraction before. And I think first time mums who can be quite naive about that, like you don't know what the pain is going to be. Like you don't know what your pain threshold is. So yeah. I'm going to try, but I might change my mind and then go up to the labour ward and it'd be completely different.
Yeah, and that's the great thing, I think, when you're, like, if you're in a kind of hospital environment, there are so many options available to you. I remember for me, my contractions were painful because I think I was overly anxious. So I remember the midwife saying, just let go, stop fighting it. But I think every woman is so different. Some women love birth. Some women have, like, I have read about some women having orgasmic births.
Oh my God, and I know people who have, like, caught their own babies and, like, delivered their own babies.
That could be you.
I don't think it will. I'm not great at, like, I mean, okay, let me put it this way. I went on a hospital tour. Shouldn't have gone in my first trimester. Everyone was like heavily pregnant, 38 weeks pregnant. Yeah. I was like not even showing. First mistake. Second, I almost fainted 3 times. I had to keep sitting down and like put my head out the window. I mean, I don't know if it was because I was in my first trimester or because I have a fear of hospitals, but that doesn't bode well. They're very hot in there, those hospitals, because
so
of the babies.
Hot.
And I'm not good when I'm hot. So I might be a bit of a fainty, throwy, uppy type, but we will see. I don't think I'm going to love it.
But it's finite. You know that at the end of it, there's a baby coming. It's like 24 hours of kind of not very nice time and then the baby comes.
I've started like hypnobirthing stuff and like one of the main things they talk about a lot is like relaxing your jaw, because obviously when you're like, even you stiffen up and your limbs stiffen up, everything's just like tighter.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, it makes so much sense. But for me, that is always the thing that is stiff first. I remember when I was younger, my mum always knew if I wasn't feeling well because I'd say to her, Mum, I've got a stiff jaw. When I feel sick, my jaw gets stiff. So I'm like, oh God, am I going to be able to do this? Because I find it really hard to relax my jaw.
I wonder if you could see someone. Like, I wonder if you could get something to relax. Because I grip my teeth.
Same, grind my teeth at night.
Grind my teeth, not grit them. And and I always have like aches. That's what, I mean, I do it too. My God.
Because we're obviously quite like anxious
people. We're anxious people.
But I've also, my fear of flying has kind of
Have you got a fear of flying as well?
Yeah, oh God, we are.
Seriously.
Twins.
Have you been on a fear of flying course before?
No, because that's my worst nightmare.
Me too.
The idea of being on a plane with other people. When I'm near someone else who's scared of flying, it makes me worse. Because so I have a friend who's scared of flying and she's really outwardly like panicky.
So am I.
Oh, see, I'm not. I'm really, you wouldn't really know. I put my hood up, I close my eyes, I put on my noise cancelling headphones and I go into my zone and that's the only way I can deal with it.
That's really good.
So I've kind of, over the years, obviously I've travelled so much with work, I've taught myself kind of how to, I mean, God knows what I'll do when I have a baby on plane. I can't do that.
I've got to say, last night, so my husband said to me, right, we need to think about booking our holiday. And we've got a house in France that we go to and we normally drive because I hate flying. And he's like, Nicola, this year, should we do the plane thing? And I realised, because I've got 2 kids, I can't sit next to him and hold on to him at takeoff because he'll need to be with the kids and I have to hide my fear from
them. I think you'll be okay. My mum had a fear of flying until she had kids and then she couldn't have it anymore because she had to, she said it just, it's not something you can worry about because you're looking after your kids.
I don't think...
And it was a distraction.
Do you know, for me, the moment when the door closes and they say, and like you're preparing to take off and you're waiting, that's when I feel like I'm actually going to die.
I mean, the moment I walk on a plane and smell the plane food, I'm like, oh, I'm going to die. Yeah, I hate it. But noise cancelling headphones are a lifesaver. So I'm thinking of like, can you wear those during labour? Like, that's my
really
plan.
Good
I just want to go into the zone and like, just go somewhere else and you know, do that.
Maybe the hypnobirth thing will help you, and there might be some music they give you.
I've started listening. It's hilarious.
What's it like? Dolphins?
It's like spa music, and they're like, birth is empowering. I was like, oh god, I'm not sure I could do with this, but I'm gonna try.
I've got a friend who is she's Israeli, and she's a proper hippie, and she's amazing, and she was the polar opposite to me. So I was the anxious one. So I went to NCT classes, mm-hmm. and they said, right, people who are anxious stand at one end, people who are chilled about this stand at the other. I was at the proper extreme anxious end. She was at the other end. And I remember she said to me, she was like, Nicola, as you have a contraction, you are with every other woman who's ever given birth, and you just got to breathe it through and be with those women. She had the best birth
ever.
Did
she? Oh my God. I thought you were going to say it was the worst.
No, that would have been the bitter irony if I've had like the yoga birth and she'd had the really hard one. But she was
She
literally sneezed out her baby.
Of course she did. It's so funny.
I am aware this is a beauty podcast, but I feel like, I suppose, you know, why not? I wanted to talk to you about pregnancy.
It's probably mainly women listening, right?
Yeah, so we're
probably go through this.
And I think you've been really lucky. I've become more and more aware of how much some women struggle.
Yeah.
And I've had friends who've had multiple miscarriages. Mm-hmm. I've got friends, as you said, who are on IVF. And I think I forgot, like, it took me 6 months. And I think we've both been very lucky.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
And you always feel lucky. And also, I'm at that funny time now, 23 weeks. They say, like, after your 20-week scan, you can start buying stuff.
Yeah.
You always feel a bit like, oh, it's just, I think it's scary until, like, the day you, well, I mean, once you have them, it's probably scary in another way the rest of their life. But I try not to think about it, but yeah.
I think you're being relaxed about the whole thing really helps. But so we talked a bit about like your boobs. How, if your shape does change, if you find that your tummy is a bit floppy, do you think you'll be able to, and if you do get loads of stretch marks, do you think you'll be able to just be chilled about that? Or do you think you're the kind of woman who might, I think they say after 9 months, you start getting a bit back to yourself. Will you exercise, do you think? Is that important to you? And there's no harm in saying yes to that.
It's so hard because I've never been good at the whole exercise thing.
No,
my husband is so motivated. He loves it. And I've tried so many times. Yeah, I'm doing pregnancy yoga, but it's literally just napping.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And I did Pilates a bit before, but I've just never managed to get into proper exercise. And I feel like there's no point starting now and putting my body through that strain when it's not used to it. So whether I do or not afterwards, I mean, I might do a bit.
Yeah.
But I've never been like obsessed with how my body looks.
No.
It's more about how I feel. But then I've been quite lucky that I've always been quite slim and never struggled that much. Although there are definitely parts of my body I'm not happy with, but not enough, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a very like naked person that like, I don't get my
we
like, body
We talked about
out
this last time. Yeah. I get my body out so much.
So it's not even something I'm really aware of, but I think I will feel weird afterwards.
Yeah.
To be honest, most of my like worries when it comes to having a baby aren't really about having the baby or my body. They're all work related, which really sums me up.
As in, how are you going to get back to work?
Everything. Like, that's probably where most of my anxiety is and where most of my like crying in the first trimester was about. And it's just a constant panic of like, am I going to take maternity leave? If so, how long? And will I lose everything I've worked 8 years for? And what if, and what if, and what if, and
that's really tough for you because you're totally self-employed and you are your own boss. So I suppose it's not like somebody's going to pay you to take a year off.
Like with everything, there's pros and cons. There really are. I'm not denying that. I think a lot of people assume that when you're self-employed, like a lot of people say to me, oh, it's going to be so great because you can work and look after baby. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really work like that.
It doesn't.
But it's more, for me, it's a control thing. I'm a bit of a control freak, and not knowing what's going to happen and how it's going to change freaks me out. Like, no, I haven't got any big projects on this year. So I don't feel like I'm like progressing in my career. I feel like I'm like pausing a bit, and that's a bit scary.
There's no harm in that. And I think, do you think that, you know, the direction you're going far more towards like home decor and all the other brilliant things you do, but maybe your audience will enjoy your baby story. Is that something you might get into?
I think that's again something me and Anna have spoken about 3 years, and we never seem to get to like a final decision on it. But it's something, my content is very much turned into lifestyle. It's about whatever I'm into at the moment. If I'm doing up a house, I'm talking about doing up a house. If I'm into fashion, I'm talking about fashion.
Yeah.
So it would be impossible for me not to talk about like mummy baby stuff. But then it comes with a whole nother conversation of, are you going to share your kid online? And that's just such a complicated
issue. It's very hard.
That...
I mean, I became a parenting blogger because I needed something. So when I had the children, and my husband and I had a rule that when the babies got to a point where they'd be recognisable, then we'd stop posting pictures of them. But I don't think you need to post pictures of your child
to talk about
you, because it needs to be from your point of view, like how you feel. And it doesn't need to be about babies.
Before I got pregnant, I really wanted to have everything decided. And what I've realised since being pregnant is that it's just not going to work like that. I'm going to have to just wait and see how I feel. And I'm not going to be able to say to my audience, I'm going to be take X amount of time off, or I'm just going to have to wait and see how I feel, because I might want to come back to work before I might have to as well, like money wise, but you just don't know. I hate the uncertainty.
My instinct is that it will, I think when women have babies, they become incredibly entrepreneurial. Now, you are like the ultimate entrepreneur. I think you'll find yourself going in some really exciting directions that you'd never thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, J.K. Rowling, look what she achieved when she'd had children. You never know. And you might think, I want to write children's books. I want to talk about children, or actually I want to do the antithesis and I want to talk about being me once I've had a baby.
It's funny because I'm really excited for next year, like 2020. I keep saying, I'm like, I know that that's going to be a great year, I just don't know what's happening this year.
That's,
I feel
okay,
like a big chunk of it's going to be missing, and I'm nervous about this. Is kind of a weird, and maybe it makes me sound a bit selfish, but I'm nervous of getting like FOMO of other, like my colleagues, even someone like Anna, who's like my best friend, and I'd be so happy for her to do great opportunities. I wouldn't want to take it away from her, but I don't want it to make me feel like, oh, they're off doing this cool thing and I'm just not.
But then look at it in the reverse and just think, having a baby is something you want to do.
Yeah.
And you do, having a baby does cause you, it forces you to pause a bit. And that can be very frustrating if you're ambitious. But it's just something, I think you just say, right, I'm going to do this thing. It's a challenge, a different type of challenge. Yeah. And then I know that no one's going to go anywhere. They'll still be there when you come back.
Listen, I want to be in the moment. There's no way, I don't want to go back to work after 2 weeks. And I really want to appreciate that time.
Yeah, because everyone says it goes quickly.
But I'm hovering somewhere in between of like, I want to be in the moment, but I also don't want to like lose something. My job is also my baby that I've like worked so hard to get to this point. Yeah. So I don't want to like sacrifice that at all.
I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised. And I don't think your audience are going to suddenly leave you because you've become a mum. But I think what you're saying is what most women go through.
Yeah.
It's a very, I feel like however equal society is now, a lot of it does fall on the women still. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I was angry with my husband, the fact that I was at home. I was like, I wanted to be back at work. I didn't want to be stuck at home every day. I loved my children and I still do, obviously. But I felt like, how come you get to go out? How come you get to go out and have coffee with your friends and I'm stuck at home a little bit bored?
Yeah.
So there's that other side
as well.
Me
and Rich talk about that a lot.
How does he feel?
I'm so lucky that his company have just changed their paternity and he gets amazing. He gets 3 months that he can split whenever.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to do a little bit at the beginning and then take the rest when I want to go back to work.
Yeah, that's really good.
We have a very like equal relationship.
And, yeah.
You know, it's not the normal of like man earns more than the woman situation. It's not like that. So we're trying to be quite realistic about it. And maybe he'll have to cut down his hours a bit. And I'm saying I don't want it to be like, right, it's Monday, Rich goes back to work and I'm
no, and you're stuck at home.
Like,
no, you can work it. You can make it with us.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm so lucky to have so many family and stuff around to help.
Yeah.
It will be fine. I know it will. It's just the not knowing what it's going to be like.
And it's okay to worry because everyone, there's a lot of pressure to say, I'm so happy. But actually, no. Yes, you're lucky, you're pregnant, you're having a baby. But it's a difficult time of change for any woman, I think.
Yeah, I really want to make sure that when talking about pregnancy and after I have the baby, that I talk about it all in a very realistic way. I don't want to be super negative and moany. I don't want to be super positive because I think sometimes people don't realise that positivity doesn't always make someone else feel positive.
No.
It's you saying that my baby slept through the whole night and it's great can make people feel really crap about themselves.
It can make you want to punch somebody.
Yeah, but saying like, oh my God, being a mum is so hard, I hate my life, also makes people feel rubbish.
Yeah.
There's definitely an in-between and that's what I'm striving to be.
Yeah, and be honest. That's all you can, and that's why people love you. It's your honesty. You've just got to say it as it is.
Yeah.
We are going to talk a bit about beauty because I think, so the thing I found frustrating was all the lovely things I used before I got pregnant, suddenly like my retinols and my acids, suddenly they were like, no, not anymore.
Or they were like, we don't really know, so let's say no. That's what I found most frustrating. Everything is... my husband works for a market research company and I keep saying to him, please, can you sort this out? Because what it comes down to is there's no research.
No.
Obviously, no pregnant woman is going to want to be tested on, like they're not going to want to risk
no.
that. But I'm so surprised they haven't found another way to test things. And every medicine, you know, I've got a terrible eczema thing going on my face at the moment. I can't take antihistamine. And it's not because they know that it affects the baby. It's because they don't know.
They don't know for sure.
Everything's
no one wants
like,
to risk
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't take it because you're pregnant for no actual reason.
God, what do you do with eczema when you're pregnant? You can't take steroid creams, can you?
No. So the way I've been thinking about it, I think I'm somewhere in between someone who's super paranoid and super relaxed. Mm. Putting a bit of cortisone cream on my eye once, on my face, like I don't think that's going to be terrible. No. But taking a pill to me seems a bit scarier because antihistamines can be drowsy. That makes me a bit more nervous. Yeah. So I'm trying to assess each one. But yeah, I had like an amazing eczema cream called Elidel that I took last year. But it lowers your immune system. So you're not allowed to take it when you're pregnant. God. Literally, you just can't do anything when you're pregnant. So medicine I found quite hard.
They always say, take a paracetamol.
You know, when I had a cold, that's the only thing. And even then I was like, this feels a bit scary. I don't know why.
I know, paracetamol's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, at the beginning, I found it quite confusing what I could and couldn't use. And I couldn't ask anyone. What I would normally do is go onto Instagram and ask, but I couldn't because I was in my first trimester. I love having baths. For me, that's like the thing that relaxes me. And actually, this is what I'm obsessed with. So this is the Cowshed Utterly Gorgeous Bath and Shower Gel. Look how much I've got left.
Yeah, you haven't got much.
I literally squeeze it in.
Love Cowshed. What? And is that for preggers?
Yeah. So it's like specifically for pregnant people. So they know which oils you can and can't use. And that makes you feel a bit like, okay.
Can I have a sniff?
Yeah. And there's so many brands actually that do that. I think at the beginning, I just hadn't even considered it.
Oh, that is really, really nice.
It still feels nice. I still like, I love my baths. I don't think I realised how many things you can't use. And the whole eating thing as well is a bit, always on the NHS website checking.
Whereas you go to France, they're all eating blooming pâté.
Exactly. That's why I'm being chilled. Like I ate salami the other day and then everyone messaged me saying you can't eat salami. And I was like, okay, so next time I'll be more aware. But I'm not going to like,
you can eat salami.
I'm not going to like cry because I just ate it.
You can eat salami. Oh, I was a bit naughty with what I ate.
Yeah. Apparently you can eat sushi now if it's been frozen first. I'm somewhere in between. I'm not super paranoid and I'm just like.
Any more body products?
Body wise
or anything or like makeup you've started suddenly using?
So because of what I do, I'm very lucky. I've been sent a lot of stuff. I have never owned so many stretch mark creams and oils in my life.
Are you using them now?
Yeah, I thought why not start, you know. Everyone says keep using them afterwards as well, like
as if you have time, but
it all happens right at the end. But
it does actually happen. Yeah,
and don't forget your boobs. Those are the tips that I've been given. I love the Velleda one.
Ooh.
You know that brand? It's a German brand. No. It's spelled W-E, but I think
The ones that do that lovely green moisturiser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've got a lovely stretch mark oil that I'm using at the moment. It was a bit heavy to bring in today, but this is also really nice. It's from Bloom & Blossom.
I like Bloom & Blossom.
They've got some really good products. They've got a really nice bath oil as well that's safe for pregnant women. And this is the anti-stretch mark oil. And it's really nice. I just find that it's really easy to spread. Some of them like a harder spread and you feel like you're like tugging at your tummy a bit.
Yeah.
So that's really nice.
Have you come across Mamma Mio?
Yes.
Love. Yeah. Mamma Mia. Expensive, really nice. Though, quite expensive.
Really nice for a gift. Good to buy a pregnant friend.
Oh, I love it. I had a tummy balm from Neal's Yard. I remember thinking this isn't working for
me. Some of them are too thick, I find.
Yeah, just a nice oil.
I prefer the oils or like the Clarins. Clarins do like a cream that's really nice. Those are my two like body products I'm loving. This got me through my first trimester. To be honest, I don't even know if I'm like allowed to use it, but you're not like drinking it, so that's the way I think about it. So it's from the brand Therapy, which is Michelle Rock O'Neill's brand. I love it, and it's the Restore Aura Spray. I had the most insane anxiety in my first trimester.
Me too.
Oh my god, off the charts. Like I couldn't. It was like, I don't know, I can't explain, like the whole not being able to leave the house thing. It really was just, and it wasn't rational. I wasn't anxious about the baby. I was just anxious in
physical
general.
yeah
all the time. That's how it felt like. I wasn't sure some days if I felt sick or anxious. They kind of blurred into each other. And this just really helped chill me out a bit. It's just a face mist, but it smells amazing. You need to try it now.
I'm going to try it.
Oh my God, hang it's on. So calming.
Therapy Restore Aura Spray.
It's so calming. I just literally used it. And you take a deep breath and you're like, life is great.
Got rose damascena flower water. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you. At the end of the day, if you're feeling panicky,
pretty luxury,
whatever works.
Yeah. That worked.
And then,
so I've just sprayed like 10 sprays of it.
Oh God,
so
no,
sorry.
Don't. I go crazy with it.
I would repurchase that a million times over. And then to deal with the spots, I kind of knew that nothing was going to majorly help. I was like, I just need to like get through this beginning bit. But I've really been enjoying this mask. It's new from Origins. It's the Clear Improvement one, which they had before. But this one's the Charcoal Honey Mask it's charcoal honey mask. So it's got honey in it, and it's like a little bit, have you ever tried their like original one of this?
No.
The original one's really like, it kind of goes really hard on your face and it kind of hurts a bit. Whereas this one, because honey is a bit more like hydrating at the same time. And it's like a really thick, can you see it? It's like a little bit gold.
I can see it's got a gold sheen on it.
Thick mask. And I just find that really helps when I'm having spotty days.
Oh, it's nice. You're kind of indulging. It's nice to like look into a new side of beauty as well, the more natural. And there's so much natural stuff as well on offer now. So. Yeah. Lily, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
I feel like we should do another podcast when you've had the baby. You should
I'll be like, remember that mask? Haven't done a mask
since
then.
Bloody mask, bloody stretch mask. But you should come in with your baby,
I think.
That would be really, really good.
Yeah,
but
so
I think,
excited.
You're going to be amazing. And I think the main thing is just keep calm.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? Thank you for sharing your story.
No, thanks for having me. It's been so fun.
I love chatting to Lily Pebbles. Now, I promised I'd talk about acupuncture, Balance Your Life, the diet plan I'm doing, and this amazing base. So should we start with acupuncture? I was very kindly invited to Gazelli House, which is a beautiful little pink building in Chelsea. And you go there and it's kind of like walking into fairyland. The decor is just perfect. Everything is perfect. I really want to stress, I was gifted this wellness experience at Gazelli House. Now, I did have a massage, which was amazing, and a facial, but I really want to talk about the acupuncture. It was my first time having proper acupuncture. I had a very random facial once where a lady put chopped carrot and needles in my face, and yeah, let's not go there. This was with a doctor who was trained for nearly 6 years in China, and he studied my tongue and he analysed what was wrong with my body, and he did detect things that are absolutely correct, including sluggish digestive system, I have IBS, weak lung, that's because I had a really nasty cough, and general anxiety, which is spot on as well. So I lay there while he put needles in my hands. I had one in my chest, which I did ask him to remove, one in my head, on my feet. I bloody hated it. I do not like needles and I do not like feeling trapped. So lying on a bed with needles in me, not able to move, nah. I did keep going though, because I really wanted to see if it was beneficial. And all I can say is that I'm not lying. My cough went after the acupuncture. I've been kept awake for a month with this annoying cough. That night I slept. So whether it's a complete coincidence, I don't know. Also, my digestive system has felt a bit better since it. All in all, I think that acupuncture might actually work. So next time I have an ailment, I'm going to go back to this guy because he was fantastic. And if you have got the budget, because it's not cheap there, he would be a good person to see. I will. Oh, now I'm saying this, I haven't got his name. I'll write down his name on the website, okay, in the show notes. But it's Gazelli House in Chelsea. That is done. Now, when Jodie Kidd was on the podcast, we talked about her Balance Your Life book. And I made a big statement and said, right, Jodie, I'm going to do your diet plan for 6 weeks. I'd committed, so I had to do it. And I've done a week now. I have been doing it with my husband. Now, my husband's a type 1 diabetic. I just have an addiction to sugar. And one of the main things about this diet is you're giving up refined sugar. It's called Balance Your Life. It's a really balanced diet. It's not one of those crazy ones where you can't eat carbs and all that shit. Literally, you're just balancing, you're eating healthily, you're thinking of your well-being. I felt 100 times better. I've had more energy. I have slept better already, and it's only been a week, even though I did have chocolate cake on Wednesday. My husband has seen the effects even more. Being a diabetic with quite erratic sugar levels, his sugars have suddenly become much more balanced and within the right range. So it's a massive, massive breakthrough for him. So 1 week down, I'm not saying it's easy because I'm addicted to sugar, but it's a small change and it's having benefits. So if you're looking to make a few changes in your life, you could do a lot worse than to check out this book. Although in 6 weeks' time, I might be saying something different, but I'm going to keep you updated. My final recommendation of the episode is the most beautiful tinted moisturiser, and it's called Just Skin, and it's by Chantecaille. You know, I really love IT Cosmetics CC cream. This is along those lines, but I'd say it's slightly less heavy, but it still really blurs out imperfections. I think it's the kind of thing, if you're having a fairly good skin day, this is just going to make your skin look 10 times better. It gives you a glow, it gives you a dewy finish. It's it's beautiful. And I have had a lot of comments since I've been wearing it. People just saying you look really well. And that's exactly what that product's all about. Chantecaille isn't cheap, but if you've got a bit of budget, if you want to treat yourself and you're going to buy one thing from the Chantecaille range, start with Just Skin, because I swear by it. Beautiful, beautiful product. And if you want to go a bit cheaper with slightly more coverage, it would be the IT Cosmetics CC cream. Right, there you go. Episode done. Next Sunday, I've got the brilliant dermatologist, Dr. Sam Bunting in. Her view on skincare is revolutionary. If you're into your skincare, you need to listen, because everything we normally talk about, she turns it totally on its head. A must listen. Wednesday, Cher Webb is back from Ibiza. We're going to be chatting all about perfume. Remember, at Outspoken Beauty Podcast is where you can find us on Instagram, and rate us and spread the word. I'm going to leave you to it now. Have a great week.